Hello, everybody. It's a privilege to be here again with you on the Lord's Day. Can everyone hear me? And see me okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, great. The Lord's given me a couple of things to share with you all today. And I was just wondering, I might share the screen. Can everybody see that okay? Okay.
Yes,
okay, look, there's been a lot of interesting things happening around the world, as you know, with this coronavirus. And it seems to be whatever you turn on, that's all that people are talking about. And I just wanted to share a couple of things. Is God in control at this time? Biblically speaking, because a lot of people don't necessarily believe the same things that we do as Christians. Where is God at this time? Some say that we're living in the last days. You know, this is a judgment of God upon the earth because of things that have been happening, like you know, all the gay people, all the abortions, all the things that go on, and they're saying that this is a judgment of God. The whole world basically is fearful. It seems that there's not a lot that they can rely on these days, or trust, or anything that's stable. People at the moment, you know, there's a lot of people. I don't know where everyone is at that end, but some people can't rely on their jobs. There's thousands and thousands of people that have been sacked. What I've heard around is that a lot of people who were casuals or had two or three casual jobs all of a sudden find themselves with no jobs, and a lot of them can't even depend on the government for... they can't depend on the government on what, you know, to get money because they were casuals and the government's not providing for that. The government now, because of what's happened, is in massive debt, and the economy is obviously not going to, it's going to take a long time to get back to what it was, and the dollar's sort of right down, the stock market has been down, so everything has really been affected. There's people now pulling their pulling out their super because of this situation where they can't survive. And as believers, what are we trusting in? Because it is a challenge to us. And I just thought that maybe we can have a look at this today. Let's commit this to the Lord in a time of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to praise you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the first and the last, that you've sent, Lord, your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and die for our sins, dear Father. Dear Father, we thank you that you are in all parts of our lives. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you were willing to give your only begotten Son, Lord, for us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, he is coming back. We thank you that he will come back, Lord, to judge. But Father, we thank you that we can rely on him for all things this day. We thank you, Father, that we're able to come together and worship you and sing praises to you, Lord, and just to be able to share your word, Lord. We just pray, dear Father, as we look to you, that you help us to, Heavenly Father, hear your voice and pray that you will be glorified, dear Father. And I just pray that it's nothing that I say, but Lord, what you'd have us to hear. So Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." And what we see around the earth today is that people are being troubled. people don't have peace. But here's Jesus speaking to his followers, his believers, that, you know, the world cannot give us peace. And Jesus gives us peace, not the world. And if our faith is in the Lord, we will have peace. If our faith is, are in things of this world, then obviously we will not have peace. Is God in control of what is going on in the world right now? You know, someone in Time magazine, and it was a Christian person, said Christianity offers no answers to the coronavirus. You know, it's not supposed to. One person said, this caught God by surprise. And it's really weird to see what different ideas people have on what is going on today. You know, if this caught God by surprise, then really God is not God. Then, you know, something else is God. The coronavirus must be God, or the devil must be God. But we know that it's not true. No, we know that God is sovereign. He knows all things, and he is in control of all things. In Isaiah 45, 5 to 9, it says, he says this, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will equip you, though you have not known me. They that may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So, you know, as we can see here, the Lord is in total control of everything that happens. Might catch us by surprise, but not the Lord. Reading further on, rain down you heavens from above and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him who strives with his maker. Let the postherd strive with the postherds of the earth. Does the clay say to the potter, who forms it? What are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he, the potter, has no hands? No. The Lord says, I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all things. Amos 3:6 says, if a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? So does the Lord know what's going on? Yes. I believe he knows everything that's going on. Nothing catches him by surprise, and he's allowed it. How is the world reacting? Well, the world is, they're acting like we'd expect them to react. The world is afraid. They're not wanting to touch our, you know, you walk around, there's people trying to keep distance, they're wearing masks. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's people, you can see that there's fear. People that you know, they walk away because they think you're going to go touch them or something. A lot of people you see, they're thinking of themselves. They're hoarding things. They're doing whatever they can about themselves. People becoming selfish, as we could see in the shops where they're buying all these things that they want to keep at home for themselves. We find that people are complaining. You know, my son Frank was overseas for 6 weeks, and then when he came back, this was before Scott Morrison said that we need to isolate. He came back from overseas, but because where he was in South Africa, there was no cases of it, but when he came back, the plane was full of people, and he didn't know whether someone on there was contagious. So he went straight from the airport directly to a hotel before Scott Morrison said anything. And then he was there for 2 weeks and then came out because he didn't want to affect anybody. But then a week or so later that Scott Morrison says everybody that comes off a plane has got to go straight to a hotel. And people was complaining. And here's the government paying for them to be in the hotel. The government is paying to feed them. The government is paying for their well-being, and so that others won't be affected. And all you hear is people complain and complain and complain. So this is where people are at. They're not trusting God, but in themselves. Obviously, they're not trusting God because they don't know who the Lord is. And, you know, people blame each other for everything. There's a lot of examples when you watch the news about people just blaming everybody else. And because people are in lockdown, we find that there's new things that have come up that normally wasn't a problem. We find now that there's more violence in the homes. We find that because, you know, some of the parents are abusive, and because they can't get out, there's more violence in the homes. Kids, they're not getting along with their parents because, you know, for many years we were taught, for decades, we were taught, you know, you can't spank your kids. But we know that the Bible says that if you spare the rod, your kids are going to go wayward. And the kids don't get along with their parents, but they can't do anything because they're stuck indoors. You find that they have no joy. There's no happiness. People have no way of getting out. Before, they used to be able to go out like they were used to and go out to places where, you know, to have an outlet. But now they can't go to work. The kids don't go to schools. They can't go to sports. They can't go to the bar. I mean, my dad is not a Christian, but he when I go to see him, because we still bring him food, he says, when are the clubs opening again? Because he used to go 3-4 times a week, but now he's stuck inside. And I says, look, you're stuck inside, it's for your own good. And he goes, look, I don't care. And people are just getting upset. Even if it is, the government's doing things for their own good. And, you know, people, the gyms used to be full. People can't go to the gyms. There's no movies. There's nothing. So we can see that in the world today, there's a huge emptiness in people's lives. And I believe that this, for us, creates a good opportunity to proclaim God's word. As believers, we need to take every opportunity we can when the time comes to share God's word. Now, you know, in the scriptures, we can't make people believe, but the Lord says proclaim his truth. And we need to do that. And, you know, over the years, I've known this guy who is Chinese, who actually comes from the place where all this started, Wuhan. And for a long time, I haven't been able to witness to him. Every time I try and ask him, so I'll try and start the conversation, he changes the conversation. But this time we're talking and he's talking about what's going on, and it gave me a real good opportunity to share to him about the gospel. And I think we should use this time at the moment when we get a chance to share God's word. As believers, what should be our reaction, our thoughts to this situation? Well, first of all, I believe we need to have the mind of Christ. It's very easy to be centred about on the news that we hear and things about ourselves and start to be acting like the world, but God wants us to have his mind. And we need to see that this, again, hasn't caught the Lord by surprise, but what does the Lord see around about us? Well, he sees, of course, how many people are now dying through the coronavirus. And this has caught everybody's attention around the world. But I'm just thinking, do you really know how many people, and I checked this out yesterday, last night, and up to this date, it's correct, but how many of us know how many people have died with the coronavirus? They're saying at the moment it's approximately 196,000. So far. So since it's happened, it's roughly about 2,280 people a day that this has affected in death. Now, the Lord also sees other things that we don't usually think about. Do we know how many people die of smoking every year? You know, there's 8 million people die of smoking every year. That's 22,000 a day. And 1 million of those people die from passive smoking. And, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, in Australia, we've got 70, 80 odd deaths. And here the government has put all the economy in total lockdown and spending all this money from the economy to help these few people that are dying. And there's nothing wrong with trying to help people, but you can't really see where it's helping or not helping. But, you know, the governments have control, if they wanted to stop these 8 million people dying of cancer or from smoking year after year. But there's a huge revenue to be made. So sometimes you think, you know, where do they think, where's their thinking? You know, do we know how many abortions are carried out each year? Now, these are just the ones that people know about that are recorded. 56 million. That's 153 odd per day of abortions. Now, the Lord sees these things. I mean, we're caught up with the coronavirus, but how would it sadden the Lord how we're doing these things to us? And the government has got control over this. But here we are saying, oh, look, we've got to help these elderly people. You know, there's one dying in a nursing home. But here they are really concerned about the elderly, where the young children who haven't even had a chance of life are being slaughtered. And that must hurt the Lord a great deal. It seems a little hypocritical to me that they allow these deaths, which they can control, and they try and help out with what's come up now. Not that I'm saying we shouldn't help what's going on, but I'm just saying that the world is all over the place. So what should our reaction and thoughts be to this? We need to understand the Lord's perspective. The Lord tells us not to worry about tomorrow. You know, and in today's society, we're used to planning for tomorrow. But the Lord says, look, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, the Lord will provide, and he wants us as believers not to worry about tomorrow. The word tells us not to fear. And of course, the Lord, I don't think it's a problem to fear for your safety, but I believe when he's talking about not to fear, he's saying, don't fear because I am in control. You need to be trusting me in what happens. And our faith and trust should be in the Lord. And the Lord tells us, he gives us peace. The world does not give us peace. And that peace removes fear. And this is what I believe the Lord wants us to do at this time. The trouble is that even us as Christian, we're used to being in total control of what we do. And all of a sudden, things are being turned upside down. We used to go to work, then we're working from home. I know that I've talked to people. You know, I had to ring up the other day an insurance company. And when I rang the insurance company, it's really funny to hear kids screaming in the background and the person answering the phone going, be quiet, be quiet. You know, because people are working from home and things are, you know, and I talk to people that are working from home and they're saying, you know, it's really good to be working from home, but I hate that we can't get out, we can't do this, we can't do that. So everybody was used to being in total control and all of a sudden we've lost that control. But things are changing now with our jobs, our money. See, people are starting to get ideas about what we should and shouldn't be doing. A lot of people now like the idea of working from home, and a lot of the bosses are even saying, well, why should we have these premises that we work from, paying all these rents, when we can just get our people to just work from their own home? So even when things get back to normal, people are going to start thinking about, hey, should I really be renting this office or should I just be not? Then people are starting to talk about having cashless society. People don't want to take your cash. anymore because I reckon they might get the coronavirus. And because of this, they're starting to bring out things where it's more easy to use digital currency rather than cash. The government has brought out an app to try and control where everybody's going, you know, so that they don't get the coronavirus. Bill Gates is actually, you know, fully left Microsoft now, but he's making it his life's ambition to get everybody digitally numbered so that everybody knows where everybody is in case they get the virus. So because of this, there's a lot of things that are going to be changing. But what does the Lord want us to do? He wants to do a work in us through this time. We need to be focused and on Him and His Word. In James 2 to 4, it says this: "My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you face many temptations or trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience and perseverance." Trusting the Lord means that the Lord can start working in us, because as time goes on, I don't believe things are going to get better the way society is. And I think we need to persevere as we go through trials and testings, that we trust in God's word. And the reason he says here, "But let patience finish its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing," or not lacking anything. He wants us to fully trust in him, not wanting or lacking anything, because he is in control. In Colossians, he talks about, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men." And you know, some people say, well, they're shut down churches. All these churches have been shut down. Shouldn't we just forget about what God, what the government is saying, and we should all be meeting together anyway? You know, I don't think so, because we're not being persecuted. They're not just saying, look, it's only church people can't go to church. We don't want people to worship. It's not that. What it is, they're saying they want people to stay home to make sure that others don't get sick. And as believers, we want to honour the government, because the Lord has put them there, and the Lord wants us to trust him in who he's put in control, which is the government. And at the moment, it's not a persecution. If they said, look, everybody's free, but we don't want people to worship anymore, then that's a different thing. We don't look to men, but we'll look to God. But at this stage, what it is, it's to help others, and we wouldn't want people to come to our church and get sick, or vice versa. In Psalm 96, I believe it's sort of like the Old Testament gospel, that I believe the Lord would have us to do, even in these times. In Psalm 96, it says this: "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name." And he's saying, "Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." You know, I'm just thinking that, does the earth, when things like this come up, they don't tremble before God? But he wants us to proclaim his word to the nations, because people will know who God is. He says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all of it, all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with truth. You see, the Lord wants us to proclaim his truth. We can't make people believe, but unless they hear, they won't know. And, you know, there was a survey done in the States, and they said, they asked them, how many people believe in hell? And they came up with 75% of people believe in hell. But when they asked them, how do you think you're going there? Only 4% believed that they were going there. So I think as a church, we did pretty good at getting the word out there that there is a hell. But I think that we're not bringing across the truth that the Lord is coming again, and he's coming again to judge. And unless people know him, they will end up there. And here the Lord is saying, he's coming. He's coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. So according to Psalm 96, we're told to praise the Lord, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations. Let people know that he will judge the world with righteousness. And in Ephesians 6:18, as believers, we should be praying also always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching everything with all perseverance and supplication. And again, for all the saints, because in this time, we need the Lord, we need one another, and the Lord wants us to be praying always with prayer and supplication to what is going on around. The Lord wants to bless us. You know, Johnson read out from Revelation. In Revelation 1:3, the Lord says this, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand." Now, obviously, this was written way back, and the people have been saying the time has been at hand for many, many, you know, thousands of years. But, you know, we need to live like the Lord, the time is at hand, that the Lord could be coming at any time. And, you know, what the Lord's just written here, he's saying, he's blessed is he that reads. And the person that reads receives a blessing from the Lord. And then it talks about those that hear. You know, sometimes we'll read the book like a textbook, but we need to hear God's voice. And he goes on to say, for the third blessing, which is those that keep those things. Keeping those things is not just Sundays, reading, hearing, but taking them with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, trusting the Lord all the days. And this is what the Lord wants us to do, knowing that he could come at any time. And, you know, these are choices that the Lord gives us we can make, you know. We could either do them or not. He says, blessed is he who reads. But if you don't read, you're not blessed. If you don't hear, you're not blessed. If you don't keep those things, you're not blessed. The Lord has given us a choice. And, you know, we had no real choice when Adam sinned. That was beyond our control. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given us a choice to trust in him and for us to have our sins forgiven. In verse 4, I'm not sure if you've noticed this before, but the first thing, the message that John gives to the church is this one word. He says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace. Grace be to you and peace from him which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. God, the only way that we can overcome anything is by God's grace. And God's grace is him giving us something we didn't deserve. but through his grace, we have now his love. And we need to be encouraged. So after all that happens, you know, that's the start of the book in Revelation. And he tells us grace. Then he goes through the whole book of the Revelation with everything that goes in it. Some of the things that he says, I want to keep that I don't even want to say what's happening. He told John to leave out. After he's finished the whole book, in Revelations, right at the end, in 21, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's God's grace. Throughout history, it's been God wanting to bring man back to himself. And we need to use, I believe, this time to use this time to be able to share God's word. It doesn't mean that people are going to believe just because you share, but at least the word, we're proclaiming the truth. In Thessalonians, there's another encouragement there. In Thessalonians says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Whatever we do for the Lord. In Philippians, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, it's really easy to read over these passages and to say, well, we do that. But until there's something that goes on in our lives, that's when the test comes through. But he says this, do it without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. God still wants us to be trusting. And although we're living in a crooked world, he wants us to be shining lights. Holding forth the word of life that he says, I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In 2 Corinthians, it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, to me, they're really comforting and encouraging words that the Lord has given to us that the world does not have. Are we looking to the Lord and his word? You know, his kingdom is coming. We need to be joyful, encouraged, and hopeful in all his promises. And as Paul did, he says, holding forth the word of life that he may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we might not run in vain. Trusting in the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Don, for sharing with us this morning. Actually, we certainly need to trust in the Lord and hold our peace together, as you alluded many times.